Hello, everyone. My name is Patrick LeBlanc, your host, and welcome to Insights Tomorrow, brought to you by Microsoft. Let's deep dive with leaders and innovators in the data space. We're going to explore the challenges, the opportunities that organizations face in their data journeys. In each episode, we will invite some data leaders, experts, and some practitioners who share their unique perspectives on how data transformation is changing their business. Let's explore this data journey together and what it means to you. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Insights Tomorrow. I'm your host, Patrick LeBlanc, and today we have someone with us who has a lot of background in a lot of things, especially education, Ms. Serena Sachs-Mandel. Serena, nice to meet you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's nice to meet you too, Patrick.
Nice to meet you. And so before we get into this, all these wonderful questions that I have for you, why don't you tell people who you are and what you do?
Sure. So Serena Sachs-Mandel, and I'm the Global CTO for Education at Microsoft.
CTO, Microsoft. Wow. Big job, big responsibilities. Okay. But before you join Microsoft, I'm sure, like all of us, I think about before I joined Microsoft, there's a story, there's some history to this, you know, before you became the CTO at Microsoft. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that before we get into the Microsoft side of this?
Sure. There's a lot of story. And I wrote a book. I won't go through the whole, so I'll let people read it. It's coming out in March, the end of March. But I was in corporations, commercial IT, for the first 20 plus years of my career at IBM in New York City, in the financial sector, and then Walt Disney World, and a number of others, all in IT. And then, so I was at the selling side, and then consulting and leading. And so I've done a lot of different things on the IT front. But when I started consulting and then ultimately became the CIO of Florida Virtual School, in education, that's when I felt like I found my purpose. I felt like all the work that I had done so far, learning technology and leading organizations, was really meant to empower and drive equity, access, and quality education for every student. And the best way to do that is first through teachers, but allowing teachers to leverage technology, which provides that personalization so every student gets what they need, when they need it, and how they need it. And so I've been working in this space for 15 years as a CIO of Florida Virtual and then CIO of Fulton County Schools. And we were the first large district to pivot to remote. And we were ready because we had rolled out devices to the students in 6th to 12th grade. So we had more to do, but we had a huge head start when the pandemic hit. And that's when I pivoted to Microsoft, because I wanted to help make a difference for all students, first in the U.S. and now globally. And so
Wow. Now
I'm at Microsoft, and I spent the first 20 months as the general manager for customer success at EdU in the U.S., and the last 20 months or so as the global CTO in education.
Wow. So Fulton County, we talked about this a little before. Yeah. I lived in Fulton County. My kids are now in college. They went to Cambridge, and my daughter is at Mercer now on a full ride. So
Thank you so much.
I could,
people ask like, what is the highlight of your career? And it really was the opportunity to work with an amazing team at Fulton to personalize learning. So the technology is a small piece of it. It was really about changing minds and hearts to see that every student deserves to succeed. We have to have high expectations for all students. And the technology helped us do that. But it was just amazing. We turned around failing students, failing schools. We raised test scores, reading levels, numeracy levels, everything, on culture scores, everything. It was an amazing team to be a part of.
You're correct. And so for everyone that doesn't know, Fulton County is located in and around the Atlanta area in Georgia, in the United States. So anyway, and so I have to ask you this. We have some questions, but I got to ask you this.
Sure.
You mentioned you wrote a book, and I know, right, people don't like to plug themselves and stuff like that. I do it all the time and sweat the nose. So just a little tiny snippet, the title of the book.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you asked, because the book is called Empowered: Frame Your Narrative, Own Your Power. And it really is meant to inspire the current and future generations of leaders, because we all have to overcome personal and professional challenges. And since the pandemic, that has so much merged our personal and professional lives. So the idea is that we have to overcome stuff. And if we frame ourselves as the hero of the story, not the victim, then we are claiming our power. And when we claim our power, we can define success on our own terms. And for me, that includes empowering others. And that's what the book is all about, is saying, you know what, this happened to me. This doesn't define me. Only I get to define myself. And I'm going to show up and I'm going to help make the world better by enabling technology and education for all students. And so I live my values, I live my mission, and that's what I'm encouraging others to do.
Okay, I'm going to give me a copy, right? Good. Everybody get a copy when it comes out.
March 27th is the launch date.
March 27th. All right, okay. So when I first joined Microsoft, Serena, I worked in U.S. education. I was the only data specialist across the country, and I was a consultant before. And I, you know, large corporations, everything. But when I came to Microsoft and started working with school districts and colleges and, you know, I wanted to do more and more, because working with those people, it was the people at those schools and those units, they were so appreciative.
Yes.
Everything we did for them, they were like, oh, this is great. This is amazing. So anyway, a little excursion there.
No, that's not an aside, because you have the same heart. And coming from commercial, it's a really good point, and it does tie to data. So coming from commercial, I was so data and analytics driven. That's what I did at Florida Virtual School, is I created data warehouse and dashboards so that we could see how all the students were doing at any time. And so when I went to Fulton, that was one reason they selected me for that role, is because I brought that lens. And, you know, so I was a Microsoft customer for so many decades, and I was on the customer advisory board for Microsoft as the CIO. And I remember the engineers that I work with now would, you know, present at the customer advisory board, and we would talk about the data and the analytics. And I said, well, we're already doing that. And they said, yes, but you're further ahead than anyone else. So it became apparent. And since the pandemic, it's become much more important and visible to do the data and the analytics for education. But at that time, I was ahead of the game. And I think that that's, you know, really important for us to have a data analytics view on students, so that we can, so not that we can penalize it, so we can support them and help the ones that needed to be helped. So totally get where you're coming from. But you asked a great question. What is the CTO role? And honestly, I'm still finding out. I think it depends on who you report to, because I'm I have another leader now, and she has changed the perspective. So I would say, in general, I sit at the intersection of sales, marketing, and engineering. So I'm on the sales team, but I help influence the product roadmap, the features and functions that go into the product, and the sales strategy. So I work, you know, very cross-functionally. It is a role of influence, not authority. I don't actually have any direct reports. It's very different than the CIO role that I had at the district. Yeah. But it's still exciting and enlightening to be a part of this and to be making a difference, you know, in global education as well as the product roadmap.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And so how has Microsoft played a significant role in shaping the landscape of global education? This is a two-parter. So we'll start with that piece, right? In shaping the landscape of a global education. I'm curious.
Right. So I'll start with the data and analytics. I think that Microsoft, since even when I was a customer, has played a great role in supporting that. And it's so important, especially since the pandemic, to see how students are doing, to understand those who are struggling, both in higher ed and K-12, and to support them. So the data analytics is a critical function. But for decades now, Microsoft has provided specific education solutions that speak to the needs of students. And I wish more people knew about Reading Progress, for example. Reading Progress is a world-changing tool that helps students become more fluent in their reading. It offloads the work from an educator. So, for example, it's well known that students need to learn to read by third grade, or else the rest of their education could suffer. But it takes about 20 minutes of a student reading out loud and getting feedback to help them progress on a regular basis. And of course, if you have one teacher in a class of even 25 or 20 kids, you don't have 20 minutes a day for every student. And not every parent can sit there at home and listen to the students read. But with Reading Progress, we can change that whole dynamic. We can change the outcomes for students, and we can help every student learn to read, even if it's past third grade, even if they're in college, even if they're adults. So it's just a life-changing, world-changing tool.
Wow. And so what initiatives or products have been the most impactful with driving that?
So the thing about Reading Progress is it's a feature within Microsoft Teams for Education. It's not, So it's included. So any educational organization that uses Microsoft Teams for Education not only gets Reading Progress, they get Math Solver, and Immersive Reader is in Edge. And Immersive Reader, and I know you have questions about this later, helps students with disabilities
learn, read.
And there's just so many tools within Microsoft Teams and within our modern work stack that help in the classroom, what we call teaching and learning. We have more and more and more. There's a whole group called Learning Accelerators, and they help both K-12 and higher ed. So those are the ones that have been the most impactful.
So I hope everybody's listening. Like, this is included. This is included in Teams. And so, funny story, I remember one of my nieces, when she first went to college, she called me up. She knew I worked for Microsoft. She's like, "Uncle Patrick, I need to get Office." And I'm like, do you have a education email address? She's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "It's free. I don't need to buy." But they don't know, right? People don't know that Microsoft does all these types of things for, you know, schools and colleges and universities. Anyway. Okay.
So. No, you're absolutely right, Patrick. It's about, like, how do we get the word out, right? That these things are included, they're free. If you have an education, and I would say not every college does subscribe to the campus, but most do.
Yep. Most do. And hers did. It was funny. Hers did. She called me. She was like, "I'm telling all my friends about this. I'm telling all my friends." I'm like, "Yes, please do. Please do." So it was fun. So can you provide examples of how Microsoft technologies such as Office 365 and Teams have been integrated into educational institutions worldwide to help teaching and learning, to enhance the teaching and learning?
Right. So, I don't have the actual numbers. I'm not sure we published them.
Sure.
But it is global. It is across the world, both K-12 and higher ed, that we integrate the Microsoft 365, which includes Teams, for college campuses, for all students, and K-12. And the other thing that we do is within Teams. So a lot of people think Teams is what we're doing now, a video conference, right? And it's so much more than that. So it's an instant message chat, kind of like a Slack does. But now with AI, it actually will transcribe your meetings and summarize them and give you the to-dos. So if you miss a meeting, you can get the transcription, you can see the recording, you can see the action items. And you can even see data about how many times, where, you know, see a graphical representation of who spoke when. But within education, we have assignments, we have a link to grading, to our LMSs and student information systems. So you can actually use Microsoft Teams as an alternative to the learning management system. I'll be clear about that. It's not an LMS, it's an alternative, because it's different than an LMS. And from my perspective, and this is, you know, me speaking, not a Microsoft marketing line, I think learning needs to be more of a neural network, an organic. And LMS tends to be more linear. It tends to be more, you have this module and that module, like a lesson by lesson by lesson. Whereas I like to see more of an adaptive learning plan that, okay, you've done well on this, now move over to this. Oh, you need some more help on this one? Okay, we'll give you some supplemental information. And that's what Teams can help do. So it can help organize all of the materials that classes need to use. It gives a landing spot for the students to see it, for the teachers to interact. And pile on that, OneNote for education is so amazing. Are you familiar with
it's
that,
amazing.
Patrick?
Oh, yes, I am. Yes, I am.
And I like it for staff too, but for classrooms, the teacher can have a whole roster of their students. And the teacher can see every student channel, but the students can only see their channel. And you could put different folders in there. The students could turn in their work. They can communicate directly with the teacher that way. So we have this whole platform of tools that is just custom made for education. And it's exciting. And now I know you're going to ask me about AI, but with AI, everything is just on steroids and just so amazing. And I can give you some examples there too. But let me turn back to you.
So I remember when COVID first started, and they announced that all the kids had to come home from school. My daughter was, I think, in the 11th grade. And I just could remember her coming downstairs. Oh, Teams. And I'm like, what? What's wrong with Teams? She goes, it's just too easy for my teacher to reach me with Teams. And I was like, That's why it works. She's like, she's everywhere. My teachers are everywhere, Dad. Anyway, so it was funny.
That's funny.
So with the rise of remote and hybrid learning, right? So there's lots of, I think about my son, right? He's doing his last few classes online and it's just taken off, right? This remote and hybrid learning. How has Microsoft contributed to the development and implementation of effective digital platforms and resources?
Absolutely. So When the pandemic first happened, Teams was at a certain level and there was a roadmap. And then the needs went sky high because everything was remote, work and school. Teams added, they shifted the roadmap and put all of their effort into being ready for the pandemic. And they implemented, I want to say, hundreds of features and functions. And so the Teams today is almost nothing like what it was 5 years ago. It's an amazing platform that is so useful for remote learning. And when I give a regular talk on the top global trends in education, and one of them is flexible, open, accessible, and equitable learning environments. And that really started with the pandemic, that everybody needed access to some kind of education. And if they couldn't go into the classroom, it needed to be through Teams. But it also needs to be equitable and accessible and flexible. And so we're not seeing this remote school trend disappear. There is a balance of being in person. There are absolutely benefits to what I call creating the social fabric of being in person. But it doesn't all have to be in person. And students, teachers at all levels want that flexibility. And that's what Microsoft gives them. And what I love is like the Microsoft Teams room that was created around the pandemic time, knowing that at some point people would be returning, but there'd be some students that are remote or some teachers that, you know, people are quarantining because of an illness. And a good friend of mine, I just got off the phone with her. She just got over COVID for the fourth time. So it's not like COVID's completely gone away. And and now COVID, you might be able to work from home, but you can't come into the office because you have COVID. So it's not going away. Neither is the flexible office. The Microsoft Teams Rooms allows you to have a hybrid teaching space where students can be both in person as well as remote. And what that does is gives you equal access. And we see that even on our conference rooms now that they're developing, that you feel like you're a part of the conversation, whether you're physically there or remote, because there's microphones and the cameras follow you. So we're using technology to make it seamless, whether you're in person or remote. And those technologies, as you, I'm sure your son can vouch, it's really great to be able to do some classes remote.
I have to ask them, you know, like between when all this started with COVID and now, right, how they felt about Teams or whatever technology they use, right, particularly Teams, and how they feel about it now. Because my daughter pinged me on Teams the other day. She was like, hey, I'm working on this assignment. Can you take a look at my code for me? And we were just on Teams. She just pinged me. And I looked at it and we fixed it. And that was it. We didn't talk one time. We did not have one conversation, you know, verbally. It was just through Teams. And I looked at her code. I was like, oh, you've got a semicolon. You need to do this indentation. And boom. She was like, thanks, Dad. And that was it. That was literally our entire conversation, but it was all through Teams. So I wonder what the feeling is towards Teams, you know, from then to now. I'll have to ask that question. I'll find out.
That's awesome. And, you know, I have a daughter and she's doing computer science in college now too. She was a senior in high school during the pandemic, so she didn't get graduation. But yeah, I mean, some semesters she's got classes on site and others she's like mostly remote. You know, I think there's pros and cons of both. I think that the students don't think about the technology the same way we do. No. I think they just use it. And they're communicating, whether they're texting, messaging, IMing you, they just don't want to email anymore.
They don't want to email anymore. I don't blame them. I tell people, ping me on Teams. Just ping me on Teams. Please don't send me an email. All right. So you touched on this a little bit earlier, and it is really important. Accessibility. Accessibility is just key, especially in education. At work too, but really in education, it just kind of, you know, it's something that we have to consider. So how has Microsoft worked towards making their technology, right? Making educational technology more accessible to students with a diverse set of needs and abilities.
There are so many wonderful stories. And, you know, being at Microsoft, I know you are aware of how much we care about accessibility with Jenny Lay Fury. And I've had the pleasure of meeting with her. I was on a round table with her with the Prince couple from Sweden who has a dyslexic foundation. And for Dyslexia Awareness Day, and then this round table with the Prince couple. We have so many tools and investments in accessibility for everything from hearing impaired to sight impaired to the dyslexia. If I can talk about dyslexia for a second. So Richard Branson was the host of Dyslexia Awareness Day, and nobody would deny he's a genius. But what they have found out is that people with dyslexia are often more creative. They actually have this tremendous creative energy. And so the Richard Branson story is maybe an anomaly, but it's not a complete exception. So when you can help dyslexic students overcome that challenge, they blossom into do amazing things for the world. So the Prince of Sweden, his father was dyslexia. And they have a video, and I would encourage people to look this up, the Prince Couples Foundation video. And they show this little boy that is overcoming dyslexia. And his father's on, and his father was dyslexic too. So you find out over time how many people are dyslexic and have overcome it. And so this immersive reader, it has a font and it has, it highlights, it actually works with students to help them read and help them to learn to read. And so they can master any kind of content. And we all have access to immersive reader in Edge. So we can put a document into immersive reader. I used it the other day to translate a request for proposal, a tender from Portugal. So it was in Portuguese and I needed to convert it into English. So I used it for that. And I work all over the world. So when I work with the Japanese, I translate their documents. And if you may or may not be aware, we have a whole accessibility lab. So we have worked with people of all different abilities and like designed attachments for the mouse or for the keyboard or for other things for a variety of disabilities. So if there's anyone with disabilities that want help from Microsoft, there's many, many physical and software tools. And we use them in education. So I can't go into all the details, but I would encourage people to look them up.
People just don't know. They just don't understand the level that Microsoft's working at to address these things. I don't think people realize it. Okay, so this is great. And I wish we had another hour to talk about this, but I'm going to wrap this up. You said I was going to talk about artificial intelligence. We cannot have a conversation about, you know, technology and education without artificial intelligence. So looking ahead, what do you see as the future of Microsoft influence in global education, especially considering technologies such as artificial intelligence and virtual reality? Where are we going? Where's Microsoft going?
So you're so right. Every conversation ends up including AI in it. And when I talk about my six trends, global trends in education, every one of them includes AI now. It used to be there was one about AI, VR, and AR. Now every single one includes AI. And interestingly enough, the AR, VR, we are not investing in as much. It's very helpful for like medical school education to use holographic cadavers rather than real cadavers. So there's certain use cases for it. And I do think it will come back in terms of immersive experiences and training, like for police and fire and things like that, and training areas. But we are all in on AI. There's three main things for education. Productivity. So we can take a lot of that mundane, boring administrative work away from educators and facilitators so that they can focus more on students. So the productivity and efficiency is so life-changing. And then there's the personalization. So I talked about personalizing just with machine learning before. Now we can personalize with generative AI. We're using generative AI. So with this reading progress I mentioned, when a student would read, it would give them feedback on what words they were struggling with. Now what we can do is reconstruct a whole paragraph using generative AI, using the words they were struggling with to keep practicing. And there's new technologies coming out where students have different interests and students are going to be able to choose their area of interest and what kind of story they want. And the generative AI will create it with the reading level that they need to help them continue to read. So very, very personalized. And then finally, the world is AI driven now. Everything is AI. So we need our educators and our students to learn AI. Maybe not all at the programming level like you and your daughter are doing, but to learn how to use it and to leverage it. You know, I was asked at a AI panel, is AI going to take my job away? And my answer is no, but somebody knows how to leverage AI will. So we have to become users of AI to be more productive, to be able to get everything done in the day. But I want to go back to the productivity one, because ultimately educators go into education because they want to help students learn and grow. And the profession, we have a shortage of teachers because the profession has become overburdened with administrative details and stress. And so if we can take some of that stress and mundane work away and allow teachers to interface with students directly more, I think that that's what we need to do. We need to help students develop their interpersonal skills, having conversations like we're having right now, introducing themselves, shaking hands, looking at somebody in the eye, resolving conflicts, developing relationships, collaborating to accomplish a goal. These are all human skills that AI can help but can't replace. And so I feel like the time that students are in the class face to face, the teachers need to be helping them develop these human skills. And that's what AI can do, is free up the administrative time so that there's more teacher-student interaction.
Wow, right? It's exciting. It's so exciting. All the things that are coming, all the things that, you know, AI can do. This is a conversation we have with people all the time. It's like, Copilot's not taking your job.
Right.
You need to learn how to use Copilot. Serena, thank you so much for taking time. I know you're busy. It's just this short time, I can just imagine how busy you are. And so thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. We really appreciate it. And maybe, you know, after the book is out and all, you know, have all your fans around the world because you have a bestseller, you'll maybe we could sketch some time for you to come and chat with us again. Thank you all also for joining us today. And hopefully you'll listen to, you know, this episode and all of our future upcoming episodes. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Insights Tomorrow. Be sure to catch us next time as we continue the journey to uncover the challenges and the possibilities that organizations face every day. You can find more about the show and catch future episodes at insightstomorrow.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.